This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is The Breakfast Grill. This morning, I'm with Eric Q, the Chief Operating Officer of Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Palm oil is something that is captivating our country. Together, Malaysia and Indonesia produce about 90% of the palm oils of the world. And while we started off this country as a very interesting one and a very agriculture base, it turns out that 50, 60 years down the road, we're still very much a heavy producer of palm oil. Now, Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad is one of the many players in Malaysia. It's one of the first companies from Sarawak that we have interviewed here on the station. So I think the first question that I want to ask is, how has Sarawak Oil Palms doing? It has been reported in 2014 and 2015 that earnings have come below expectations. What is the reason for this and what is the outlook on this front?
Okay, a quick one. Sarawak Oil Palms actually started as a joint venture between the British government, CDC, and state government. The idea was to actually promote oil palm to the people of Sarawak so that we will have jobs and development and something that we can enjoy. So what happened is, as far as the this results are concerned, I think it's basically similar across our whole industry. We were hit basically by lower prices and lower margins. So obviously, it affected our profit for the last 2 years. This is simple reason of supply over demand. There's a lot of there's plantings that were coming in on stream and the demand wasn't as strong as expected and so on and so forth. And therefore, it affected the overall pricing and it affected our results.
Okay, so while this was a joint venture that was created, I think the company was created in 1969.
That's right, 68.
Right, yeah. And 50, 60 years down the road, the government is still a shareholder in the firm in the form of Pelita Holdings Sdn Bhd.
That's right.
Does this influence the way the company is managed? Is there political influence in how the company is run?
I think we always view ourselves as semi-government. So the fact is that, they are not actively in the management of the company, but they do sit on our board of directors. And what has not changed over the years is that we are still expected to set a benchmark for the state to set the right practices. So it is think that we are seen as people to look up for as far as the oil palm industry in Sarawak is concerned. So we do have to still take care of the social aspects of the industry,
okay,
which is still a very important part of our culture, part of the company.
Right. The top question for anyone when we talk about oil palm companies is the sustainability aspect.
That's right.
And SOP right now, Sarawak Oil Palms, is not RSPO certified. Is this a big problem for you guys in trying to make sales?
I think the fundamental question is, what do you mean by sustainability? It's our view that, of course, we are actually IACC compliant, which is the European standard, and we also we're beginning to get our certification on the MSPO, which is the Malaysian Sustainable Palm Oil, and essentially the practices and the approach to defining sustainability is fairly similar across all the different standards. So, the question is, why do we only have RSPO as one standard? Now, the market should look at the true sustainability as a more important gauge. So no, we don't have a problem with sustainability because we are sustainable.
Now, of course, the biggest question right now is on planting on peatlands. And do you believe that this is something that the media, for instance, have been blowing out of proportion? Is planting on peatlands actually unsustainable? Or have studies proven that this is not the case?
Well, the first thing that when accusations were thrown at peat area, of course, the reaction from the industry was, at first it's like, okay, let's look at this and do we really have a problem?
Mm.
So yes, I think one of the areas that captured the imagination of a lot of people is the burning. But it happens across mineral areas, peat, it does happen. But immediately, if that was the issue, then the industry actually stopped. We had a zero burning sort of policy across in the whole Malaysia, actually, as far as I remember. And that was a few years back. I think 6-7 years, everybody basically stopped burning in for palm oil industry. But there has been also subsequently studies done by our good ministry, the MPOB side, together with some British university that study on the, not just them, but there's other research like the Sarawak Tropical Peat Research Center. They've done study on the emission of carbon from peat area. And as far as I know, the studies that came out that the emission is well within the acceptable level.
So that means that there will be zero emission carbons, or at least near zero emission carbon.
Well, at the moment, I think the unofficially, I'm talking to the researchers. They're saying that their hypothesis is actually that planting in a well-managed peat area, they reckon that it's going to be new carbon neutral, actually, or close to it. So it's in time to come, it's not going to be an issue.
Now, is this an unfair criticism given towards the industry as a whole? Is this a concerted effort by various parties to say that palm oil is bad, other oils are good?
Well, if you're asking me is there is a conspiracy against palm, I really don't know. I think it's too early to tell. But the fact is that there is a lot of misinformation out there in all sorts. In other, I mean, 20 years ago, the Americans came up with a study saying that coconut oil was no good for us. It's saturated fat together with palm as well.
Yeah.
And now we know that the research done now, chemical research over the years, actually shows that, look, it isn't as bad as what we say. You know, in fact, we need a good combination of saturated fat and unsaturated fat in our diets to keep us healthy. So perception changed, but the truth has always been the same.
Yes.
So yeah, if there's an undue attention on palm at the moment, then there could be because of various reasons, and we cannot rule out that there may be economic reason behind it.
All right. But of course, in hindsight, you know, you will have to still comply with the present day laws, and therefore, I guess that is the restriction that you're facing right now.
Palm is one of the most. In Malaysia, it's I think next to probably petroleum industry, we are probably the most regulated industry in the country.
Yeah.
And we have very responsible ministries, MPOB, MPOC, MPOA, MPIC, that takes care of us and make sure we toe the line, or not say toe the line, but we obey all the rules and making sure that we are compliant, you know.
Okay, so this is interesting. Even though this is the most, or one of the most heavily regulated industry in this country,
right,
some countries are still not happy. In fact, the import duties have been in the limelight. France, for instance, is now saying that, there's going to be a high tariff that is going to be imposed on import duty for crude palm oil, as well as refined oil. And as a player, are you going to be affected by this? Nothing much you can do about it, but what's your comment on this?
I mean, obviously the feeling is not very positive because it's always not nice to be branded as guilty, you know, until proven innocent. The French, for whatever reason, doing this, I think they're trying to, but they're probably based on bad science and bad sentiment.
Mm.
And it is not based on anything factual. I think everybody needs to approach this, and I think the government is actually through the Indonesian government and the Malaysian government actually working together to try to correct this situation.
All right, I'm speaking to Eric Hugh, the Chief Operating Officer of Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad. Eric, let's go into the speculative notion of CPO prices. There's a shortage of stock that may boost CPO prices. In fact, a few weeks ago, there was this palm oil conference where Dorat Mistry even argues that the CPO prices could rise to 3,000 ringgit a ton over the next 3 months. Do you think this is even possible? What are the factors driving CPO prices?
Well, if you look at simple demand and supply, obviously, large part of the palm oil producing areas, both in Indonesia and Malaysia, are affected by the drier weather and probably likely caused by El Nino. And the effect will be there, and there will be some disruption to the supply. Or at least that's what the experts are telling us.
Yeah.
So as far as that's concerned, obviously it's going to be having a positive effect on the prices.
Okay.
Right, but that also depends on the demand from the markets, and it's a combination of demand and supply.
And do you think the demand will spike because of the shortage of supply?
Well, I think the demand will be probably, given the whole economic situation around the world, I think the demand side, it will not be super bullish. But I think they will be forced to sort of pay for higher prices because in view of lesser supply, obviously the buyers may have to start paying up a bit.
So what is the correlation of this commodity, oil palm, with other commodities? Is there a correlation between, say, coffee, soy, whatever?
It's mainly to do with the bean oils, soft oils, and we have some relation. There is a relation between all of the oil, vegetable oils of the world, because basically it's basically we are competing for almost the same space. So yes, if the prices are not strong on the soft oil side, obviously it will have some effect on our palm.
All right. So earlier in March, the price of palm oil is actually tracking rival in soy oil as well. Do you think this correlation is going to continue on, or will there be a disbanding between the two and palm oil will set its own future and set its own prices?
I think it will be very much still in line with what everybody, the movement is like for the other oils. Okay. So I don't think you diverge from that.
What about the correlation of crude oil? Is CPO prices going to be determined by the low crude price oil that we're seeing now?
Many years ago, there was a fundamental change in the way palm prices work. And the main driver of this was actually the introduction of biodiesel or using CPO or palm oil as a fuel. And that actually provides a bottom, in a way, provide a bottom support for our palm industry, same as sugar. You know, sugar actually went through the same notion.
Okay.
And so it's a good price mechanism, a control price mechanism for our palm. So whenever palm prices go below what the traditional thresholds are, then the support will come from the fuel, because you can then convert to fuel and get rid of the production, get rid of the stock. So that is, I think that will continue, and that will set the bottom price for us.
I'm speaking to Eric Hugh, the Chief Operating Officer of Sarawak Oil Palms. Up next, we'll ask him about biodiesel and whether or not that has a future in Malaysia. This is BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is BFM 89.9. This morning, I am speaking to Eric Hugh, the Chief Operating Officer of Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad, one of the many players of oil palm in Malaysia. Eric, a few weeks ago, our plantation minister says that we are more than ready to go into biodiesel. We can switch, the blending capabilities are there. We can switch from B5, B7, B10, all at the flick of a switch, basically. That's what he's saying. Here is the Minister of Plantation Industry and Commodities, Douglas Ugah Embas.
Malaysia have set up a very efficient system. We can move, I'm referring to the blending facilities. We can move from B5 to B7 to B10 to B20 within 2 days of the decision made. We have a very sophisticated system in place. So as far as the system is concerned, there is no issue. What is left is a consultation with one or two stakeholders.
You just heard the Minister of Plantation Industries and Commodities explaining the readiness of Malaysia to accept biodiesel. Is there any truth in this? Are the players ready?
Yes, I think the government has put in a lot of effort to get our facilities ready. So the whole country is actually geared towards implementation of biodiesel in our diesel stream. So yeah, it's well prepared.
Of course, biodiesel, basically moving heaven and earth trying to get biodiesel up. Is there a future in this? Or are we over-reliant on diesel, therefore we have to do it anyway? Or is there a motion where we don't have to really focus on this and just let our reliance on diesel to continue on?
The bio in this industry, I think it is on the basis that it's more as a price control mechanism for both. It helps the petroleum when it's very pricey, then you'll be surprised that actually biodiesel could work out cheaper, especially when the raw materials in the lower end. And this has been the case before the crude oil crash. But of course, at the moment, the other side of the story is that actually it provides support for the palm industry, in the sense that when there's excess stock, there's an outlet for them to cut down stock and therefore maintain the price higher. And with that, at least that's the logic behind it. So actually, it is meant to kill two birds with one stone, actually, mm-hmm. if you think about it. Of course, in between, there is always a balancing game. But I think as an industry, it's helpful. It's helpful for not only for the palm industry, but also in a small way, the petroleum industry.
So in the US, the ethanol business there, The politicians have dropped the game. They don't want to talk about it any longer. Will we see the same thing here? It's sort of like fizzled out. It's not really died there in the US, but nobody wants to like look hard into developing the business there.
Well, I think in the US, they're already very well established. And of course, it's an election year, so I think maybe that's the reason why. But it's be assured that it's still very strong. It's in this industry there, and it's doing wonders for them, because the otherwise, if there's no bioethanol for them, the corn prices or the soya prices would have been even much, much lower, and it would hit them even harder, because as it is, they're already subsidizing the farmers here. That is the difference between us and them.
Yeah.
They in the West, they subsidize the farmers heavily.
Okay, so this is the story of subsidization as well, because as a planter, you have to bear the cost of many of these planting mechanisms. Is it fair then for you to be seen as subsidizing other aspects of the business, including there could be an argument that planters are actually subsidizing, say, the refineries, for instance? Is this a case? Are there comments that you want to mention?
Okay, I think that's a good point. I think the industry, at the end of the day, we need to sell our products, be it in a refined form and be it in a crude form or any other form. Because palm, our volumes are huge. And ultimately, we have to compete with other people for the business. And at the end of the day, we have to look at what our competitors are doing and how they are structured. So at the moment, the Indonesian government are very much geared towards looking after the downstream industry. So their tax regime is actually on, even the levies that they put on is actually more to promote their downstream. So at the moment, if you can see our downstream in Malaysia, the government has always been looking after both industry, but at the moment, there's a slight discrepancy between the tax rates, and therefore, we are finding it difficult to compete at the downstream land, you know. So at the end of the day, I always say that we need to go into the boxing ring fighting with two hands. So I think the government will be looking at how to make sure that we are competitive in both ends of the business, whether it's on the crude end or on the refined end or further downstream. I think the government will have to look at how to address some of these differences.
As a player, it's only fair that the players themselves, including SOP and any other players out there, it's only fair for the government to be advised by the participants of the market. Are you engaging enough with the government to actually express these concerns? I know SOP is not as big as the other players over here in West Malaysia, but you know, SOP is the household name in Sarawak. Do you pull your weight and try to influence the government in this manner?
No, we have associations that we work through. And yes, I think the association as a whole, palm oil industry or in the downstream or MPOA, with Sarawak, we have something called SOPWA. I think, yes, we are constantly trying to engage the government, but it's a question of interest. So there's always people lobbying for different parts of the business, and it's a matter of getting the government to try to strike a balance between all of us. But yeah, we are putting as much effort as trying to work, but it's always through association, because I think it's important that everybody gets on board.
Right. Yeah. I'm speaking to Eric Q, the COO of Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad. Eric, you mentioned early on in this interview that the core reason why SOP was created was to actually help the community. And I think the community right now, in Sarawak at least, is very much anticipating a very interesting state election. So, can I ask your comments? As a business operating in Sarawak, what are your thoughts on the upcoming Sarawak elections?
Well, I think we have to start with the fact that Sarawak is very, it's a little bit different from, it has a different atmosphere compared to other parts of Malaysia. Everyone is peculiar. But in Sarawak, basically, I think we have a very harmonious society. There's very little racial tension between any of the races. And I think that actually affects the way politics is viewed in Sarawak. So as far as we're concerned, the politics is all about taking care of people. And in Sarawak, we don't necessarily play the game is played very differently. We don't play the racial card so heavily. In fact, it's probably not a good idea to do in Sarawak, because it doesn't work, right? So the election is all about Sarawakians looking after the state. So at the moment, the people build this as election, looking who can take care of the state the best, and not so much involving the other parts of the country.
Everybody expects state government to win, of course. The current state government, Tan Sri Anwar Satim and his coalition. Do you think that the scenario or the political scenario in Sarawak can be a beacon of hope for the rest of Malaysia to look at? Is this something that we can emulate in other parts of Malaysia? In the sense of harmonious, not necessarily, okay, you know, coalition or government.
Well, I think we've enjoyed a stable state government for many years, and I think we are going to enjoy many years more. And it's because it's in the right hands. So I think it's important. That is the important message, that it has to be in the right hands. And I think that's the only message that we can tell anybody.
Okay, so let's wrap up this interview. What is the outlook for SOP? Is 2016 going to be a bit different?
Well, obviously, we hope that this year will be a better year. And looking at the situation, I think it will be a better year from the previous year. It's been a challenging couple of years for the whole industry. And I think we've come out of this well enough, and we've learned to cope with the situation. And I think this year should be a much better year for all of us.
There's a pundit in the sector called Dorab Mistry. He is well regarded in the sense that he holds a crystal ball determining the future. He says that the prices of CPO might rise up to 3,000 ringgit. Here he is speaking at a conference in Kuala Lumpur last month.
Today in India, CPO prices are below 50,000 and consumption is going like a train. So we have an upside of 10,000 rupees between today's 49,000 and the biting point of 60,000. In short, prices have to rise by 20% before we hit that level where consumption will be constrained. That is the reason why I have said that 2,600, 2,700 ringgits, throw it away, out of the window. Prices are going to begin with a 3 and probably rise higher than that.
You just heard Dorab Mistry explaining why he thinks that CPO prices will go beyond 3,000. Do you think this is an area where it might happen?
I think there's a positive drive on the price, but whether you hit above 3,000, I think that will have to be seen. So my personal view is that, yeah, the prices will be stronger, but I don't think it will hit above 3.
And that is the ever optimistic Eric Q, the CEO of Sarawak Oil Palms Berhad. Eric, thank you for being on the grill.
Right. Thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure having you, actually. I'm Ibrahim Sadi for BFM 89.9 at the Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the Business Station.